Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our study of the Palestine of Jesus' time. We have been trying to understand the social situation in which Jesus lived. We saw the people were divided into various categories of pure and impure. And there are many reasons why people were considered impure: by reason of birth, by reason of their health situation, and by reason of their profession. And many professions made persons unclean, they thought, like shepherds, like physicians, tanners, barbers, and all those who came into physical contact with something unclean by their profession. Prostitutes, for example, were considered impure. Not only morally impure, but also physically impure, because they came into physical touch with human bodies. Another profession that made people impure, they thought, was that of tax collecting. Tax collectors were considered impure for two reasons. First of all, they cooperated with the Romans, the occupying force, and also because they exploited the people, asking too much taxes, making too great a profit from their profession. So all these people were considered impure by profession. Of all the people, one category were considered more impure than all. And surprisingly, these were the women. By birth, every woman is considered impure. There is a kind of ambivalence about the picture of women in the Bible. For example, the first two chapters of Genesis, the book of Genesis, presents a beautiful picture of the woman. A woman as an image of God. A woman created as a partner of man. In the first chapter of Genesis, verses 26 and 27, we read that God created human beings in his own image and likeness. And then the Bible goes on to say that he created them, man and woman. Both man and woman equally represent God on this earth. And their face reflects the face of God. The same way, in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, we see that human beings will become perfect only with the presence of woman. Till the woman came into the picture, the man was lonely and incomplete. The moment the woman enters his life, the man is happy and humanity becomes complete. So this is God's plan, that human beings should be man and woman. And in this relationship between man and woman, is the image of God becomes visible, alive. But later on, due to various reasons, women were considered less than men in many respects. And in the wisdom literature, very often we have a very negative image of the women presented. The women considered a source of all evil, considered as a temptation for men. Women who lead the society into evil. And this is somehow attributed to the third chapter of Genesis, where the first woman is tempted by the serpent and eats the forbidden fruit and forces the man to eat the forbidden fruit, and then so brings down the calamity, disaster on humanity. So this is somehow literally interpreted, and the first woman is presented as a curse, as a person who brought a curse on humanity. Even though the Bible is presenting the entire story in a different picture, that the woman had become a blessing. He blessed them, the man and the woman, and gave the blessing to multiply and fill the earth. But there are also some very beautiful pictures of women presented. In the book of Proverbs, for example, chapter 31, verses 10 to 31, presents the picture of a wife, a housewife, who takes care of the family. The woman considered as a matron, the one who feeds the house, feeds and leads the family. The same picture is repeated in the book of Sirach, chapter 26. But these are rather exceptions. As a whole, women do not fare much well in the Old Testament. When we come to the time of Jesus, what was the situation of women in Palestine? Women were protected, we would say. Women were under the protection of their parents when the women were children, girls. And once they were of the marriageable age, they were given in marriage, and marriages were arranged marriage. It's the father of the girl or the bride that arranges a wedding, a marriage for her. It's an agreement made between the father of the bride and the bridegroom, or the father of the bridegroom. And in this agreement, the woman doesn't have much to say. She has no right to say yes or no. She just is being given in marriage. And when the marriage arrangement is made, the bridegroom has to give a dowry to the father of the girl. And the amount is fixed. As a gift to the parents who brought up the girl to the marriageable age. Usually in Jesus' time, the age of marriage for women was between 12 and 14, and for men between 18 and 24. So there would be a difference of age of 6 to 10 years between man and woman. Another amount is also fixed at the time of arranging the marriage. And that is the amount which the bridegroom has to pay in case he divorces the wife, or in case the husband dies and the woman becomes a widow, she has to receive a certain amount from the husband's family. So this amount of divorce is also fixed at the time of marriage. And when she is brought to the husband's house, then she is under the protection of the husband. As long as the husband lives, she has to be subjected to him. The husband has certain duties towards the wife. He has to feed her, clothe her, and shelter her. Food, clothing, shelter. These are her rights. And in case she dies before the husband has to arrange for a decent funeral. And the decent funeral means there should be at least two persons to lament over the dead person. So with this, his duties towards the wife is fulfilled. Marriage could be divorced. A woman could be divorced by a husband, but not so with the wife. The wife has no right to divorce her husband. And what is the reason by which a husband can divorce his wife? In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, Moses has given a law. envisages a situation where divorce is possible. Deuteronomy 24:1. When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a bill of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and etc., it goes on. It's a condition. The condition of divorce is thus this, that he has found something indecent in her. And what is this something indecent? And there had been two interpretations in the time of Jesus. The two schools of scribes, of lawyers, the liberal school of Hillel maintained that divorce is possible provided the man finds something indecent in his wife. And something indecent is something that displeases him. It could be anything. That he is no more happy with the wife. He doesn't want anymore. He cannot love her anymore. Or something that she does or does not do doesn't please him. So the very fact that he doesn't like the wife anymore is sufficient for him to divorce her. But of course, in doing this, in divorcing her, he has to follow the prescribed law, that he has to give in writing, and then he has also to pay the amount already fixed in case of divorce. So this was a liberal interpretation of the school of Hillel. Another school, more rigorous interpretation, was Shammai. The school of Shammai taught that something indecent means marital infidelity. If the husband finds out that the wife had been unfaithful to him, that she has committed adultery, then that is a sufficient reason for him to divorce her. No other reason is valid. And it is in such a situation the Pharisees come to ask Jesus about the question of divorce. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus has an answer that goes beyond both Hillel and Shammai. And we will see it later when we study the teachings of Jesus. So a woman could be divorced, but a woman could not divorce her husband. In case a husband did not have the money to divorce or did not want to pay that amount, he could very well keep her, at the same time marry another person. Even though polygamy was not very common the time of Jesus, there were instances of polygamy, especially among the rich, who could afford to maintain many women in their harem. So the woman in marriage did not have an equal right. Women were considered responsible of childlessness. Sterility was attributed only to women. We see the stories of many women in the Bible. Women who were sterile, like Sarah or Rebecca or Rachel, or the mother of Samuel, or the wife of Zechariah, Elizabeth. All these women were considered sterile, barren. But the Bible never speaks about the sterility of a man. Maybe at that time, the medical sciences did not understand the sterility of men as the medical sciences find it today. So sterility was the fault of women. If a woman is sterile, if the family does not have children, or if the husband dies a premature death, then also the woman was considered responsible. It was due to her lack of holiness that the husband died. So sterility and widowhood were all considered the fault of women. She could not file a case against a man. She could not testify in a court. she did not have much of a right. She was not supposed to obey all the laws, only the prohibitions she were supposed to follow. The active commands she did not have to obey. She was not supposed to learn the law. She was not supposed to be educated. No decent rabbi would ever take a female disciple to teach them the law. So the women were not supposed to be educated. They had all sorts of restrictions. A woman could not speak with anybody in public outside the house. Even in the house, they were supposed to stay only in the inner rooms. They were not supposed to bare their head in public. If somebody happens to see the hair of the head, that is considered a shame. And unveiling the head in public would be a sufficient reason for the man to divorce his wife. And here we should see the attitude of Jesus towards the person who came to Jesus, the repentant sinner. So this is the situation of woman. Not all women were so brutally treated. Very often in the villages, women had a better understanding, better position in the society. And also in the towns, the cities, there were some matrons who did have a respectable place in the society. The mothers of the high priest or the mothers of officials, they had real influence in the society, and they could be also luxurious women. But as a whole, women were considered impure, less than men. Women were considered as a danger and a threat to men. Women were considered as responsible for adultery. We have the story of a woman caught in adultery, but we are not told how she became an adulteress. We hear about public prostitutes, but nobody tells us who made these women prostitutes and who profited out of this situation. We are not told why this such widespread prostitution was present in that society. On the one hand, the so-called religiously pure, holy people advocated such meticulous observance of the law of purity. On the other hand, it treated women less than like slaves. They were considered as temptations and occasions for sin, and much less as human beings. And how did Jesus respond to this situation? The situation of a society that was divided into pure and impure. The situation of a society where only less than 10% of the people could consider themselves as pure people, as holy people, as loved by God. And more than 90% of the persons of the population were considered impure and sinful. We'll see how Jesus responds to them. Now, let us close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son into this world, divided in many ways. Your law that you gave us for freedom, for happiness, has been made into an instrument of oppression, of division and exploitation. Enable us to understand the real sense and meaning of your law. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.